Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. We do apologize for the technical difficulties we were experiencing at the start of the program. We are glad that you have joined us. We appreciate you taking out the time to be faithful to those things that have been required of you, and we ask the bishop who is here to open us up in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this wonderful time, for every candidate that is on the line. Oh, God, thank you for speaking to their hearts. Oh, God, thank you for their journey and their process. Thank you for what you're doing with them even now, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the preparation that is taking place, oh, God, in this season of their lives, oh, God. Thank you of the coming together. Thank you for what the new wine that you are releasing in these vessels that the earth is moaning and groaning for, oh, God. We ask you to bless the overseer, oh, God, and her commitment to your will and your way and your process of preparing these soldiers, O God, for what is to come. So, Heavenly Father, have thine own way, O God. Thank you for every accountability partner, O God, everyone that's traveling, Heavenly Father, no accidents, O God, and no disruptions, O God. May there be peace, O God, within their soul to know that you are with them, O God. Thank you for the apostle over this ministry, Heavenly Father, and all that she does and pours out to the people, Heavenly Father. Have thine own way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. We are going to start our session tonight out with our those who will do their presentation. I pray that we have Sister Ruby on the line, as well as Evangelist Geneva. Are you ladies on the line and prepared to start? Remember, you have to take your phone off of mute, and then we will hear from you. This is their week to bring us a presentation regarding one of the elements in the accountability partnering process. We're looking at it as those items that need to come forth in that partnering to bring excellence to the area of accountability. Sister Ruby, are you prepared to start now? Sister Ruby, Evangelist Geneva. Okay, Elder Deborah, are you on the line? You want to take your mute? Elder Deborah, I want to make sure our lines are properly open to everyone, and that everyone is hearing. One moment. I see some of you that have just come on.
Smiley up.
Okay. Oh, could it be?
Yes, I hear you now, Ruby. Elder Deborah.
Okay. Yes, I'm on the line.
All right, I think this is Sister Ruby. Sister Ruby, are you on the line?
Yes, I just got online.
Amen, amen. Do you need to take a minute?
Yes, I do. I just need a word.
Oh, hold on. All right. Well, we have Elder Deborah on the line. Give us a quick review of the elements that have come before this one. Just do a quick review.
All right, just one second. We have been looking at some characteristics that are important in the accountability relationship. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, and 18, under the heading of being joyful and prayerful, refrain without ceasing, always rejoicing in all things, giving thanks. We talked about, I don't have the names of the individuals that made the presentation, but being surrendered to the process, Philippians 4, 5 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but all things by prayer and supplication. Make your requests known to God. Be non-judgmental. And that was from Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Judge not that you not be judged. We looked at James 1 and 19, which was dealing with trust and active listeners. The whole idea of being swift to hear and slow to speak. Wise counsel from Proverbs 12 and 15, that which spoke to the whole idea that, that when we are myopic, that our way seems right, and basically like the fool says in his heart, but a wise man will accept counsel. We talked about companionship in Genesis 2:18 and Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Genesis 2:18 was that it's not good for man to be alone. And I'm looking to see if I made any notes. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, I believe that was the reference of when you have two, it's good for two brethren to be together, because if one falls, the other can pick him up. And that gets us to where we are. On last week, Pastor Lazarus talked about Philippians 4 and 8, whatsoever is true and just and lovely and of good report, think on those things that are have virtue. But tonight, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5, Sister Ruby and Evangelist Geneva will be speaking on our warfare.
Amen.
And how
Amen.
That relates.
Sister Ruby, are you prepared to start now?
I can. I'm in the car,
okay.
But I can't.
All right.
Yeah. So let me get some thing together, get my stuff out. I apologize. I'm just getting off from work, people. I have to make a quick stop while I'm talking, so please forgive me if you hear the conversation. But I am coming on.
Okay, so you know what? While you're preparing, we will have Minister Sherita give us an update of the emails that have gone out and give us a summary. Okay.
So yes, I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Registration actually is officially open for the 2016 AEN conference, and everyone should have received that correspondence earlier in the week. We are encouraging you to register now. Again, the conference rate $50, which includes one banquet ticket. If you plan, or if you have guests that plan on attending the conference only, it's $50. And then if you are attending the banquet only, it's $50. Also, everyone can begin reserving your hotel room now. The overnight accommodations are $123.17 per night, which includes tax and daily parking. And remember that reservations are made through the Hyatt Regency O'Hare. And also, just a note, if you wanted to review prior preparation meetings, you can actually go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC Word Life Center, and the meetings can be retrieved in the Becoming a Voice and Not an Echo archives, and they're actually on the on-demand episodes. Written requirements, if you still have outstanding paperwork due, please submit that paperwork to Overseer now. And then as it relates to the consecration that we started on last week, We're just looking at becoming familiar with the attributes of God and how the attributes are being established in you and what lie of the enemy it is dispelling from you. And so just be ready to share what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. And accountability partners, this is for you. Just remember to prepare and submit the 5 questions that your candidates will answer for the ordination examination.
Thank you so much, Minister Sharita. And as Minister Sharita has brought up the consecration, and we'll do that while we're giving our sister Ruby plenty of time to get herself together, understand what it's like when you're getting off from work. And so what we're going to do, everybody is live. And so everybody should have started their reading in the book of Psalms. And part of what you're to do, your instructions for your consecration includes the reading is probing, but journalizing is it prompts something. So you should be journalizing as you read daily. Recognize the attribute of God for your day, and that's the most important thing that you need to jot down. Who is God revealing himself to you in your day? Well, some of the questions to ask to kind of bring this to the forefront is, God, here am I. Show me who you are for me today. Expand my ability to know and to discuss who you are as my God. Open my eyes to you, Lord, and to your activity, to your leadership, and to your way for me. God is always with you. He's always at work around you. Ask him, what is he inviting you to do? Talk to him throughout your day and listen to his voice. We had challenged everyone to spend at least 21 minutes setting aside a time for him so that you would meet him in this consecration journey. And during that time, in reading your scripture, in prayer, in journalizing, in meditating on the word. And so we have gone through literally perhaps 41 divisions in the book of Psalms. We're up today, July 7th, is up to Psalms 41. Do not stress if you're not there. It's not quantity. It's quality of reading that we're here to promote for you. This is where you will receive that which God has for you. So in all of your reading, and most people have read through the Psalms at some point in their life, but in this particular season, I believe that as you read, there may be scriptures that, first of all, you didn't realize were there. Like, oh, I never saw that before. Or as you read, you see, Lord, this is the answer to one of the concerns that I would have in ministry as a leader. David was a supreme, wonderful example of the ups and downs of leadership, of the journey with Christ in his calling and in the destiny of his life. And he penned most beautifully those emotions and those responses and his reactions to the situations and events and challenges that were in his life. And during that, there are a format for us to see. There is a sense of encouragement in the fact that didn't just happen to David, as if you're not the only one that it is happening to. A dry season, a persecuted season, a confusing season, a troubled season, a sick season, you know, a season in which you've been betrayed and you've been abandoned. So there are all kinds of challenges that will assail you in your walk as ordained leaders. And the book of Psalms is excellent in giving you a response to them, a prayer for them, and a decree as well in those times that you find challenged in your spiritual man. And so I would like every week, everybody on the line, you're going to get your phone off of mute, and you're going to say your name, and then you're going to tell us the name of God that impacted you in the reading. And don't worry if someone else says that same name, but do be able to say where it was and the fact that it's a new thing in your life. Now, we all know he's our Savior, he's our salvation, but if he's your salvation in that he saved you from saying no and freed you to say yes, even to the process, because he assured you of his love and that he would be there, then that's the kind of way you will need to share that with us. And so because of time, we do want to make sure we flow well. And so I know that it's going to be difficult because, you know, two people may start talking at one time. But I want to say we should go alphabetically, but then I'm not, I could call names, and then the person's name I call can then just answer the question. That may be the better way for us to go. And so we're doing this with not just the candidates, but also the accountability partners as well. And so I want you to be thinking about, that's what we're going to do after Sister Ruby brings her presentation to us. Sister Ruby?
Yes, hello. Good evening, everyone. How are you? I'm here.
Amen.
I'm trying to get somewhere. Yes, thank you. I apologize for the shortness, but I'm going to try to make this nice and quick.
Amen.
I'm coming from 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, and my topic is warfare. Just amazing, right? About that, but I'm going to make it nice and sweet. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself and against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, when I was reading that at first, it was some words that got my attention that I wasn't too sure of or how to bring them up, how to explain them. And I did go back into elementary days when you try to figure out what the word is without looking it up, and you try to come up with the definition and put it in that sentence. So the word that stood out to me, one, was warfare as well as cardinal. And far as warfare, that meant the meaning, and this is coming from the Webster Dictionary definition I got, activity that is done as part of a struggle between competing groups, companies, persons, or to weaken or destroy another. And cardinal, of or relating to the body, sexual or sensual, relating to or given to crude bodily pleasures and appetite marked by sexuality. So I was looking at that word cardinal, and I was like, wait a minute, that has nothing to do with me, and I don't know how is that in the scripture dealing with warfare. But then I went back up to reading verse 2 of 2 Corinthians, where it says, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherein I think to be bold against some, would think of us as it was walking according to the flesh." And then I was like, oh, okay, I think I've got it according to me and what I was going through. And what I came up was, when you think of warfare, and I'm going to explain this to me on my experience and going through this process as well, I broke it down for those scriptures, meaning that basically when it comes to battle or war within earthly places or persons, It means that we do not fight physically, because being that we are supposed to be spiritually grounded, we are definitely fighting spiritual as well as a natural warfare in everyday life, rather be small or little. You know, it's the point of that you have to know when to put your personal feelings aside or don't try to fight it and put it in God's hands. Because with me, I say that because I know, and this took a long time, with my mouth, I was quick fast to tell somebody off. And then at the end of it, because I knew that I was a child of God, although I knew that person should have not came to me that way or whatever, and at the same time, yes, we know that, God is supposed to be there to handle it, and we sit there and pray, but then sometimes we get into our own physical form or our own thoughts and sit there and say, well, I asked God to do this, to handle it, and it seems like it's not getting done when we want him to do it. So we take back what we were supposed to originally left it in his hands, and we turn around and we fight it in the physical form, not in the spiritual realm, and we mess up the process of what God had already probably done fixed already. So then I took it to another level, meaning that with the verse 2 of the confidence, because there are times people, I would never understand. It was like I would sit there and I would talk to people, address people, or stay to myself. And it wasn't that I was just standoffish. It was just that I just sensed that something just wasn't right with that feeling or sense. And at that time, it was God probably telling me, but I did not really want to take heed or understand. I was like, no, that's not what it is. You know, I'm fighting. There goes that warfare again, because I'm not listening to the spirit or the voice of God. But in the physical, I'm like, no, it's all right. They're not like this. Just to come find out that in the end, God knows all things. To bring it forward and into this process, same thing with the warfare. Yeah, I laugh at it now, but when this was presented to me, I'm going to be honest with you, I never even thought of either becoming or ordained or having that title of evangelist, because to me, I was just Ruby. I just enjoyed her encouraging people. I like joking with people to make them feel okay. So it was just something natural that I did. So when this was presented to me, I was like, no, I can't do that. And people would be like, well, God has said that. I mean, even Apostle was like, God has told me to. I lie you not, guys. When I went to that conference and I seen evangelists in front of my name, I was sitting there like, that is not me. Still battling that warfare from that spiritual and that physical form. Nope, that's not me. I don't know anything about this. How am I going to help somebody else? And I'm trying to get my stuff together. But Lord knew what it was and what I needed to do and what I had to go through in order to be able to help somebody else. So when it comes to that warfare of what I'm saying and going through now, it's inevitable. You can't fight it. If you're already predestined for it, it don't matter how much you run from it, it's going to find you, and you better just be there to listen up and listen to what God has to say. And that's what I have to do in warfare.
Jesus. Man, who is this person on the line?
Right. Well, praise the Lord. I thought I would let the bishop respond to the evangelist and to the whole thing. He was going, who is she? You know, and this is how I see the coming together in accountability, partnering, and sharing with other people, helping you to walk in your destiny. It changes you. It empowers you. It puts a fire in you. Sister Ruby is on fire. And I
yes,
thank God
for
that.
Yes, it does, because I know. I'm still, y'all. I'm trying to tell y'all, I'm still, I am still. I'm even, I don't know if this is now July. To be honest, not to cut you off, Overseer, but I don't know because maybe between May and June, it just kind of hit. It was like, you might as well just give up, just stop. You're not going to win this one. Because I was like, okay, well, I'll just go through the process of the calls and do the paperwork. I mean, I was making up a million one excuse. This is just too much. I can't do it. Why they want all this? Who does this? You know, I don't know all these verses. I mean, but, man, I'm sitting here praying for stuff in my mouth. I'm trying to tell you because the last incident I had with my job, and I told my accountability partner, she laughed at me because I just be like, I just be like, oh, my goodness, I was about to go off on somebody today. But, I mean, when I sat there at that last meeting I had at my job, I left. And my youngest, my supervisor said something. Now, the old Ruby would have just been like, and I quit. But this time I just looked, and I was like, I have nothing else to say. Really? And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit through this, go through this process, and then when it's time to come for the ordination, I'm going to try to put it off next year. Yeah, something was like, yeah, you're not going to do that. There's no way. So, yes, I'm cool now. Everything's crazy.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Sister Ruby will be the first one. Did you read any of the Psalms?
I did read some of the Psalms. Going back and forth. I mean, be honest, always, and I kind of knew when you said alphabetical order, I was going to be first. I just knew that was going to happen. But, God, I don't know why, but, yeah, I was going back and reading a couple of the Psalms and stuff, and it's so funny because, believe it or not, a lot of times when I was going through and stuff and didn't know, I always went to Psalms, to be honest with you. And I mean, when you talk about the journal, once again, it's so funny. I've always been doing journals to express my feelings. Me and God just be having these conversations. Like, really?
Amen.
Like Psalms, I really like, I'm still trying to learn stuff, so I don't know, y'all can correct me, but I really draw quotes of Psalms 23, like seriously, that's just me, because, yeah, what I'm going through,
okay.
Psalms 23,
all right. Yes. Psalms 23, God is your shepherd, the Lord is your shepherd.
Yes, he is, because he knows.
And
he knows
you shall not. Yeah.
I shall not. I'm trying to tell you, it's a lot of stuff that I done been through, and because of him, I'm trying to tell you. I might joke about it and stuff, but I should be.
Amen.
I should be in a crazy house. That's all I'm gonna say.
Amen. Amen.
And that's
Amen.
It. So don't ask me nothing else. I'm done. I'm going on mute. Bye.
All right, Sister Ruby. We thank you so much, Sister Ruby. She has put the fire in the meeting. And so we will go next to Deacon Melvin Williams. I know you were coming and going, so I'm not sure if you're here or you're gone. And then we'll go to Minister Bethel Hall. Take your phone off mute and jump right in there.
Amen. Good evening.
Good evening.
So it was, I did a lot of writing, a lot of highlighting, a lot of stuff, but I'm going to try to just pick one.
Okay. All right.
But one of the ones that stuck out to me, it was Psalm 16.
Okay.
Let me see if I could just pull this up. Okay. So Psalm 16, verses 7 through 11. And it says that I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests secure, because you will not abandon me in the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life, and you fill me with joy in your presence, your eternal pleasures at your right hand. And from that, I took as God being my my counselor, as being my counselor.
Okay.
It stuck out to me.
Okay.
Yes. It
okay.
stuck out
okay.
to me because one of the things that it talked about at night. Night is one of the times when I'm always up. I'm a night person. And sometimes going through the season that I'm in now, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and just bombarded with thoughts, and mind is turning and going a million miles a minute, and it's on this thought and that thought. And when I begin to read this, this is a scripture that I now read every night before I go to bed, and it helps calm my thoughts. It helps bring me to a place that's centered, a place that's focused on Him. It helps me to and understanding that His word is true and His word is flawless, and that I cannot be shaken. I can't allow the things that's going on around me to shake me, to move me. Psalms 15 talked about that when David asked the question, who can be in your presence, who can be in your temple, and he began to give the answers to that. And at the end of that, he said, and the person that does these shall never be shaken. And I was like, wow. So I have to find in times when I feel like I'm moved or something is moving me, it's a time of reflection for me. What have I not done? Where did I not trust God? Where did I not acknowledge Him? It makes me reflect back to Him so that I'm always centered and grounded and focused on Him, and to bring my thoughts together and allow Him to be my counselor, allow Him to just calm me down. Baby girl, you good. Don't worry about it. I got you. You straight. So.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That is blessing for ministry. And for us to always remember. Now, Minister Lynette Harris. Minister Lynette?
Good morning, good evening, everybody. This is Deacon Melvin.
Okay, Deacon.
I'll do my best at this, but it was two things that stood out with me. Psalms 11, it was the first verse in 11. In the Lord I put my trust. Save ye to my soul. Flee as a bird to the mountain. And then I looked down at verse 3, where it said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So, I'm going to give this the best shot I can give. Then I'm going to go to Psalms 23. But I got out of about it in the Lord put my trust. At one point in time in my life, I didn't trust in God like I should. At one time, my trust and faith was very strong in the Lord. And then somewhere down the line, it just seemed like I had stopped having faith and stopped believing in everything. And so a lot of times I would just run, even when being called, hearing the calling of God, asking me, well, telling me to come and do His word and everything. I kept ignoring it. I kept running and everything. And then I ran and ran until I couldn't run no more, because He's beginning to visit me frequently, and like just about every night, 3 and 4 in the morning, getting my attention and everything, until I just finally said yes to that I would do His will. And then if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I learned that if I continue to build on the foundation that God has created, if I build on that solid rock, and if I can just continue to be righteous and continue to pray unto Him, tell Him all about my problems and everything, I know that the foundation won't be destroyed. It won't be destroyed if I just continue to pray and trust in God and believe in Him. And then on the 23rd numbers of Psalms, I like that because it gives me strength to know that you got the Lord as your shepherd, you know. And then how he leads you beside still waters and he restores your soul. You constantly get energy when you go to him and he's restoring you. Also, I got from how he walks with you through the path, through the green path. I'm a little nervous, y'all forgive me. But just hold on 1 second, bear with me. So I like, you know, when it was talking about how the Lord is your shepherd and you shouldn't want for anything and how he leads you beside the still water, how he makes you to lay down in green pastures, and then how you walk through the valley of the shadows of death and not fearing any evil. And then I really like the part when you say, I prepare a table before you in the presence of my enemies. You know, we got a lot of people that's jealous of your blessings, what God do for you and everything. And it's no secret what God can do because he's not going to hide it from him. He's just going to be right there in the presence. He wants everybody to know what they can have if they serve him and just trust and ask him for whatever it is you want. Because we know that in our Father's house, we are rich. We got a rich Father, you know, and everything. So, and then it said, he anointed my head with oil and cup runneth over. So if my cup runneth over and he's anointing my head with oil and my cup is running over, my blessings is overflowing, you know. It's overflowing where I don't have room to receive them. But and his word, it also said that he would pour you, open up the window and pour you out the blessings from heaven. And then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy, just knowing that you got mercy along the side of you and the Lord's goodness, you know, so... And you'll be able to rest. When it says dwell, rest in the house of the Lord forever, that means I won't have to worry about anything. I'm at peace. I'm up there with the angels. I'm wearing a crown. I got on my robe. So that's what I get out of it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Deacon. Now we will have Reverend Pat Anderson.
Yes, I would say for me, and my situation, I look at what's right in front of my face, and I say, Lord, this is what I am doing here. This is the place that I am, and this is my situation. And it was the verse, every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, I am working with my two daughters. After Gary died, I moved, and then I'm working for my daughter under her. And it appears like I am treated like, I think when you're older, they look for Alzheimer's or they look for you to be disabled and that you can't do very much or whatever. And I'm going, that is the furthest from the truth. So I had to come up above that, and one has been almost 3 years now, and I came home about 6 months ago when I came back to my house, and I said, Lord, I am the mother here. I am the role model, and I am the leader. And these children who are 50, 52 years old, and 50 years old, I'm going, you show me how to be the mother and the role model. I have to choose my words carefully, and what do I say to these daughters now at the age I am and their future of what they're going to come into. So just little things that they would say would be cutting and demeaning. And the Lord kept me from returning harsh words or arguing back or really lighting into them and telling them. So I had to be slow to wrath and very, I'd have to be slow to speak and choose my words carefully because I knew what I would say would not only split the family, but cause wounds that would hurt my daughters. And then it would go on down to my my grandchildren. So because of that, I am now able to share with them and bring the daughters back to their first love. And what was happening to them is they were allowing pressure and fear and worry and everything else come on them. But yet when they would look at me, they would see a mother, a role model who was stable, secure, and watched her words. And when I spoke with authority and with wisdom. And that's where I am right now. And I'm so glad that the past year is over, because I could have said some very hurtful things.
Mm-hmm.
So then that
okay.
right there, that was the verse that I'm really working on. And I said, Lord, you and I are going to have a relationship, and you're going to tell me every little minute detail when we're working together like this every day. So this
Amen.
Is where I am, and my girls are now asking me for prayer. They're coming to me
Amen.
For prayer. And I'm going, that's the place that I needed to be. Because I had to be careful that the wounds of the death of a husband was not causing me to come under my children and have them treat me as if I needed care now. Because
Amen.
I didn't have a husband. But I had to step up with that, take my role model position as a mother, and take my place again. So that's
Man,
where we are, is just riding higher and looking down, always being very careful what I say and speak.
Amen, amen, and a wonderful example of a leader that has to be humble and seeking the wisdom of God to go forth. Thank you so much, Reverend Pat.
Yes.
We're going to have Pastor Deloach. Pastor Deloach, and then Evangelist Roberta.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I couldn't get it off of mute.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
I am so sorry. And you want
no.
me to, I was listening to everybody to comment on Psalms, or Psalms. Amen.
Yes. Yes,
you asked me.
Yes,
I want to. I was looking at in the spirit to my heart a lot of Psalms, but I want to go back to Psalms 23. And the reason I want to do the Psalms 23 tonight is because I went and read it over in the message, and I loved it in the message even the more.
Amen.
And it was to me. It was said in the message. It read, "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing." And I think that said more than enough. Just because he's
Amen.
God, I don't need a thing. I just need him,
Amen.
You know. And then it said he embedded down in me the lust metals and find a quiet place. And I was listening to Minister Bethel. I'm a night person, too. Everything, you can get me best at night. That's when I can hear more at night. And God is teaching me that quiet place. He's teaching me not just to find a place, but how to fill my spirit, how to get quiet, that he can talk with me. And when he talks with me, I can not only listen, but I know how and when to answer. And I can commune back with him. And it says, but not only that, it's a true word. It is a true word. I mean, his word is his word, and there is nothing else, no matter what people say. I've been lately in running to people, listening to people that's just arguing over the word of God. And if you're not rooted and grounded in his word, some people have the gift of persuasion. And if you just don't know, they can twist that word. But God's word is his word. It doesn't change. And then through his word, it lets me know over in the message, I like what it said, it'll send me in the right direction. His word's going to send me in the right direction. Even though the ways go through the death valley, I don't have to be afraid. So those, them trials, them tribulations, them isms, them schisms, them innuendos, I don't have to worry, because we go back again. He is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. I'm learning to be quiet, hear his direction, and I can go through whatever he wants me to go through without fear, because fear is not of him. And the reason I can go with him without fear that I gather out of there, because he is by my side. He is not going to send me through that alone. And by him being by my side, then that gives me secureness. It gives makes me be that I can trust God. He makes me feel secure. And then what I love about it is he came back through the messenger. It reads, he not only he cares about my spirit, he cares about my natural. It said he'll serve me a six course dinner right in front of my enemies. I love that. Amen. But just to say, and then it ended up, and I'll end with this. He said that his beauty and his love chases after me. And that made it just even more personal that, you know, no matter who else he's talking to me. He chases after me. He'll allow his love to chase after me. He'll allow his beauty to chase after me. I just have to stand still and know that he's God and he's everything I need.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Evangelist yes. Roberta?
Yes, ma'am. I was looking at Psalms 18. It says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Sometimes I'm my own enemy. I look to him, you know, for when I fall into my own lack of self-confidence. And the scripture goes on to say, so who is God except the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. So God is my strength, and he's my rock. When I will come against myself and have, you know, lack of self-confidence or lack of in myself, he strengthens me and lets me know that he is my strength and my rock.
Amen. Amen. This is such a beautiful, wonderful, encouraging, and insightful time this evening. We're going to now go to, I don't know if Evangelist Julia is on the line, and then Evangelist Hosey. If you could take your phone off of mute. And share. Evangelist Julia. Evangelist Hosey. Okay. We're moving right along. We have Pastor Danielle. Pastor Danielle?
Yes. I am sorry. What am I supposed to be doing?
Okay, we're looking at the consecration. We were to read the divisions in Psalms and to pull out a name of God that is put forth in there that we would use in our ministry life. A new name of God, a new scripture that, even though you may have read it, it didn't have the same effect on you as it did this time. So that's what we were doing this evening.
Mr. Bond is asking, can he do it, and can you give him 5 minutes? To be honest, okay. Overseer, I received the email. I did not have time to look over
okay.
that email. So
okay.
that is
all
why
right.
I'm lost.
Not a problem. We will go to Minister Pat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Minister Pat, right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay.
Yes.
The songs that I read was 37, but I'm just mostly with the it speaks on trusting in the Lord and waiting patiently for Him to act. And the 37:5 hold on. 37:5 speaks about how David 37:4-5 how David calls unto the Lord. It said, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And 37:5 said, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." And when I was reading that, it just spoke to me with everything that, no matter what situations or circumstances was coming about in my life, that I could trust Him. So He's faithful. He's trustworthy, and that He's the righteous one. And no matter what situation I find myself in, I have to commit myself to the Lord, meaning entrust in Him and everything, not my family, not my possessions, not my, things in life. But He is in control, and He's my God, that I can commit to Him and know that that He will keep me in perfect peace, that He can care better for me than anyone else, and that I have to be willing to wait patiently for Him to work out what is best for me. And a lot of times that patience, because sometimes I have found myself trying to go ahead of what He's already said instead of waiting for the preceding word to go forth. So it was just to wait patient, to trust in Him, and to know that He has my back. And that's it. Hello?
It sounds like everybody left.
Hello?
Yes, we're still here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We're still here.
I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm here too. Okay, Minister Helen and Sister Siobhan.
Minister Helen and Sister Siobhan. Lewis? Okay, then we have DeMont Carter or Diana Murphy. Either one of you, just jump right in there. Grayshawn Jackson. Hello?
I'm ready over here. This is Bonds.
Okay, you. Yeah, you have to wait, Bonds, okay?
Just let me know, okay?
Do we have to? Okay. Was that someone's phone acting up? Minister Helen? Jawan? Jawan?
That's her trying to talk.
Okay. Is Pastor Jeff on the line?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Hello. Can you hear me?
You want to get? Yes, we can hear you. You want to give us your
okay.
song?
I thought about Psalms 24. from earlier this week. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Like when we were on the phone line before we started, I stepped outside to the mailbox. And I saw it was like it was, you know, very rare it doesn't happen, but, you know, the sun, like it's raining and the sun is out all the time. And then thinking like, you know, God, he could not only just rain on us, but he can shine on us also. He rains forever. The earth is Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He's in control of everything, no matter what is going on. He's in control of my life, in control of all things at all times. Even when the world doesn't want to acknowledge his presence, you know, eventually you got to acknowledge him. It's just like in the military, when you walk past a high-ranking officer, you got to salute him. You know, you got to acknowledge his presence, or, you know, it's going to be consequences of it if you don't salute him. And so, I mean, eventually, as not only as a body of believers, we definitely got to acknowledge his presence at all times, recognize his presence. That's why I said, like, going out, stepping outside and seeing, like, the rain and the sun at the same time, you have to acknowledge his presence just from seeing that. And I mean,
amen.
The thing about it is us taking it to the world and taking our truth that we know to them. And that's what I kind of gathered from Psalms.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. We have Pastor Tan on the line. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Hit the name of God, the God of truth, the God of truth, coming out of Psalms 31. And as I read on the scripture, it stated that into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. And we're going through some of the things that I've been going through, realized that, you know, he did redeem me, and he is the God of truth, no matter what it may look like, no matter what I am going through. You know, he is a God that shall not lie. And every promise that he's ever spoken, you know, shall and will come to pass, regardless of how it may look right now. So I am just excited with the name of God, you know, being evident, and the God of truth reigning in my life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We have Minister Katie on the line. Yes. And then we have, I hope I didn't forget to call, is Apostle Brinson on the line? Okay. Minister Linda Barnes? Is that someone that's trying to speak? I think someone is crying in there. Something's wrong. Can you text me who this is, because we're not getting it. We don't hear it clearly. Or take it off a speakerphone and try to do it, even though it's on, take it off a mute and speakerphone. That may work better. Hello? We just want to give everybody, hello, an opportunity. We don't want to forget Pastor Marlette as well. Uh-oh. Pastor Marlette. For me, it would be Psalms 1, and it simply says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor take seat in the company of those who is in the law of the Lord. And when I read that, it just reminded me of the scripture when I was younger that I had to recite and write 1,000 times. Whenever I did something that did not glorify God was, be not deceived, for bad company will ruin good morals. And so it just reminded me the company I keep, but not just naturally, because it's easy for me to disassociate myself from people naturally, but then I'm on a level for that. So that was my scripture. Have Minister Brittany Buck and Pastor Lattimore. Who is this? Maybe if you, whoever this is, if you can call me, I'll get the call and then I'll know who it is trying to get through. But Pastor Lattimore or Minister Brittany Buck. Understand what they're saying. Okay. And then do we have any of our council members that would like to share?
Okay, Elder Yvette.
Hello. Yes.
Hello, can you hear me? Elder Yvette.
Yes.
I was looking at Psalm 27. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, which and what that is, the people who are in the body of Christ as well, came upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumbled and fell. So in the sense of wherever I may find myself in times where circles where you would not expect it to come from, it was there, it's still God is the light. And he is the one that will save you in the out of the whole thing. We have to trust the Lord and be not afraid, because, again, he's mindful of everything. He knows everything, even going down into 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing that I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And in that, that makes me think, too, of the scripture that says, I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. So regardless to what is going on, I have to remember he's the light, and I want to walk after him. I don't want to be separated from him. I have to trust him. I don't want to be afraid, because he's the light. He is the way. He will show me how to deal with the things. He's my salvation. He saves me. He will protect me from the things. So I have to trust in him and know that he already knows the way. And I don't want to read all of it, because it's 14 verses, but even it goes down, hide not thy face from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, for my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the path, in the plain path, because of mine enemies. So I can't get caught up in what may be going around, what isn't right, but I've still got to trust in God, knowing that he is the light, he's the way, he will save me. I don't have to be afraid of failing and falling, because he is always ever present.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder. Elder Deborah. And we do ask that you put your phone on mute if you're not speaking. Okay? Elder Deborah? And Bishop? No, she's not on.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Yes. Your Psalms, Revelation?
Well, I don't know what I would call it, a revelation, but as Elder Yvette was reading Psalms 27, the whole idea of the Lord being my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? This is the times that we're in right now, and it seems like such an assault on not only the people of God, but on black people in general, that I think we have to sometimes get out of our heads and understand that just as in conjunction with that 2 Corinthians 10 scripture, that our warfare is, of a spiritual nature. It is not carnal, and we need to choose our battles wisely. And it just reminded me that this is a spiritual war that we're in, even though it seems that every day, there's additional killing and those kinds of things. But this is a spiritual battle against the people of God and against the righteousness of God. And just thought about that as she was reading it.
Amen. Amen. Bishop?
Well, yes, it's just a blessing to be on this line with the people of God, and we are just so excited. I just always want to do that. I'm messing with y'all. Well, the psalms that are definitely important to me is a part of the psalm that says, I will fear no evil, as I am, in essence, Psalms 23, as I am battling the fear and anxiety that has been trying to reign supreme. I just it brings myself to the Psalms 24, which always reminds me that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And as I remember, as I'm learning about God's economy and God's citizenship, being a citizen of heaven, how God has a system that's already established, and thus the part of this journey of transitioning from how the world thinks to how God operates, thus, the attacks. Sister Ruby talked about the warfare that just comes and tries to get us to run backwards. But when I remind myself of the virtue that God says, or what the scripture says, I will fear no evil because he's always with me. And remembering that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and so therefore, anything that I need is always in God's hands. And the soul searching part of this journey says, who can stand in the hill of the Lord but he that has a clean hands and a pure heart? And so therefore, allowing God to inspect my heart, putting up my hands, wanting God to inspect my hands. And if there's any dirt or there's any stain and blemish, there's the confidence that because I am the bride of Christ, that a good husband will wash his... I'm a bride. A good husband will wash his wife with the water of the word and then present her to himself. And so, and that's what I look forward to God continuing to do within my life in this journey.
Amen. And mine came out of Psalms 20, 6 and 7. And God said, he saves his anointed and those that remember his name. And I always thought he saves his anointed, those that trust in him, but those who remember his name. And so it admonishes me to make sure I have one of his names that I am remembering when I am in need of the anointing to do that which has been assigned to me to do. And so he says he saves his anointed as we remember his name. And I thank God for that. That was revelation for me, that we have to, I have to remember his name. And he has many names, but I must remember the one that I am need of in that particular moment of salvation. Now, we do have the apostle on the line, and she will close us out this evening. We ask you to prepare for next week when the bonds will come first. They will come with their scripture for the Psalms as they do their consecration, and then they will bring forth the element of mutual growth that's found in Proverbs 27 and 17. You are encouraged to register for the retreat, for the conference. The registration is out. It's been sent to you by Minister Sherita. Get that back in as soon as possible. And now we give the floor to Apostle, who will then close us out as well. Apostle. Our Apostle is on the line.
Yes, I'm here.
Hallelujah.
All right.
A revelation from the first 40, one of the first 40 divisions of Psalms, and then close us out.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
The one that sticks out most at this time is going to be the one that said, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." And it's the one that you're having us do the 23rd division of Psalms for the pastoral leaders, to just our responsibility as shepherds to understand the scriptural role and the foundational background for that role. The shepherd's response to the sheep, his response to the sheep, and then his response to God for the sheep. And so just put in just a remembrance of that was something that I felt was necessary for my own spiritual growth and development. And so even as we're looking at how this role impacts accountability, partnering, relationships, we have a relationship, we have a responsibility to each other. And how we serve in that responsibility to each other is reflective of our relationship with the Lord, and not to take it so lightly. And to, even as it relates to the assignments, as we're looking at the things that he has given us to do, understanding that our ultimate accountability, as it is to each other, that whole one another, I don't mean to bring that up again from last week, but that whole one another, we also have to give an account to him for how we do each other and one another. And so just keeping that 23rd Psalm in mind, and they're realizing as there isn't an assignment that he's given us, even though it may seem like we get the assignment in the dark, he is the light that we need for the next step. So, Father, we do bless you and we glorify you. Thank you for these, your people. Thank you for that which you've given our hands to do. Thank you, Lord, that you, even flawed, we have favor, Lord. And you look beyond all of the things that we bring to the table, and you still desire. It is an honor and a privilege, Lord, that you still desire to use us. And so, Father, we within ourselves, we have not earned it, we don't deserve it, but we are so eternally grateful for it. And so, Father, we bless you to just be servants. We honor you, Lord, that you look upon us and you say you want to use us, even though you see us beyond what we see in ourselves. And so, Father, we thank you for our journey. We thank you for our path that we're taking on this journey. And then we thank you, Lord, that you will put people in our lives to hold us accountable to a higher level of excellence, Lord. And so, and to be into faithfulness and diligence to the things that you've given us to do. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord God. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for such an internal and eternal love that has made the difference in our life. And so, Father, we pray that we would be accountable to each other, we would encourage each other, we would pray for each other, we would serve each other, and then that we would do all of that as we are, as if we are doing it for you, since we are doing it to you via your people. And so, Father, as we move forward, may we keep in mind that that which we do it as if we are serving you, because the opportunity that we have to serve each other is you giving us just a rehearsal. You're giving us the opportunity to examine us, to see just how faithful we are. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We pray that we would examine ourselves and every area that we come up lacking. We thank you, Lord God, for grace and mercy to be corrected in love and in your presence. Thank you that in your presence is the fullness of. And so, Father, we bless you for your presence. We bless you for your planting. And then we bless you that as we're planted and submitted, we can therefore flourish. So we just speak to each person that they will grow, they are planted, so that they can be the harvest that is needed in that area. And so we bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the worship.
Amen, amen, and amen. And do have a blessed evening and week in Jesus' name. Good night. Come on, low battery. Yeah, me too.